Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Board of Education meeting, December 10th, 2014. We call this evening's meeting to order at 6:30 and adjourn to closed session. Closed session closed at 6:55. This evening's open session beginning at 7 o'clock. Start this evening's meeting with an invocation and flag salute. Will you please rise?
Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for all you've done for the school district, and please protect the students during and staff during the upcoming holiday, and be with us, board members, as we go to learn at the California School Boards Convention. Keep us safe, and let us learn what we need to make this school district even better than it is. And we want to say a special thank you for Debbie Kaplan and what she's done for our school district and for our students. Please let us continue to make a difference and bless her as she moves on to the next part of her life, and let her enjoy her family and especially her grandkids. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the salute to the flag. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, please.
Mr. Hoff?
Here.
Mr. Holtz?
Here.
Mrs. Miranda Jimenez?
Here.
Mr. Flowers?
Here.
Mr. Schumacher?
Here.
Ms. Azette?
Here.
And Mrs. Kaplan?
This evening in closed session, the board received information regarding an expulsion hearing that took place in the district. In accordance with Education Code Section 48918J, the board is to take final action in open session on the expulsion matters as described in Item A of the closed session agenda. With regard to the recommendation to expel student number 201737 for violation of Education Code Section 48900.7, is there a motion?
I'll second it.
Where did the move come from? It was moved by Jessica Shoemaker, seconded by Lynn Miranda Jimenez. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the motion is so ordered. And further, in accordance with Education Code Section 48917, there was discussion regarding a suspension of the expulsion, the enforcement of the expulsion. Is there a motion for this item, please?
I'll move it.
Moved by Cami Polison, seconded by Eileen Miranda Jimenez, that to suspend the enforcement of the expulsion order of student number 201737. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the motion is so ordered. Pass this down. I have nothing else to report this evening. Is there any other Board of Education reports or anything?
Okay, I want to say that the Hirsch Ranch Christmas barbecue went really well. Mr. Flowers and I both attended, and they were one more time saying that it was really good that the school district and Hirsch Ranch is really collaborating in a great way. I had some of the people in attendance who hadn't seen our planting beds, went out and saw it and complimented the school district, so I wanted to pass that along. That some of the people I talked to were very complimentary of us. It's awesome. And the partnership that we've been working very diligently to build. So kudos to everyone. Today, thanks to Mr. Flowers inviting me to the Rotary Morning Breakfast Group, Payless was so much fun helping the kids get their shoes. So we started with Roland Unified, and then I got to help at least one student from West Covina because I had to leave. I had commitments, Adan from Monta Vista. He was adorable. But thank you very much for inviting me, and that was a very rewarding experience. So those were the two important things to share.
Ms. Fox? Yes, again, I got a cold, forgive me. Debbie, this is our last on the board being with you. You know, we're going to miss you. We love you. God bless you and your family. And just keep doing, make it do what it do. But anyway, also, like Eileen said, shoes and socks for our kids. What an awesome experience that we had today. Did 100 kids from Roland. We did 100 kids from Monta Vista. And these kids were so excited, you know, to get shoes and socks, you know. And so what a blessing it was today. And that's all I have to say. And wish you guys a Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Student representative report, please.
For Coronado High School, at last count, 19 students have earned their right to transfer back to one of the traditional high schools. Our football team completed their second consecutive undefeated season. They are the San Gabriel Valley Continuation League champions once again. Co-ed basketball has their second game of the season versus Canyon Oak on Thursday. Can Food Drive is underway. Our students will be volunteering at Parents' Place this Friday during the annual Dinner with Santa event, and we would like to say thank you and wish Mrs. Kaplan the best in her retirement. For Edgewood High School, the boys' basketball team hosted a tournament from November 24th through 29th in the Edgewood Gym. Juniors and seniors will be taking the KCELA and KCMAF tests on Wednesday the 3rd and Thursday the 4th. The Interact Club hosted open mic night from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Students of all grades perform poems and songs in front of singing scouts. ASB will be having their Holiday Spirit Week from December 8th through 12th. On Monday and Tuesday, December 8th and 9th, the Drama Club will be having a fundraiser by hosting one-act plays from 7 to 9. On Wednesday, Edgewood will be hosting a choral holiday concert in the cafeteria. The American Sign Language Club is having a movie night in the High School Media Center. And the following students receive scholar athletes in the Marymount League: Claudia Del Valle, Yasmin Reyes, Jonathan Otero, Francis Donato, and Jackie Contreras. For West Covina High School, on Saturday, our dance and drill teams performed at the Covina Christmas Parade. On Saturday, our school hosted the SAT and will be also hosting the ACT test this Saturday. This week is our Winter Wonderland celebration, and this celebration is a way for the campus to commemorate the holidays through various activities such as a wishing tree, a photo booth, handing out of milk and cookies, spirit days, and a victory bell ceremony to celebrate the winter sports. On Wednesday, Band and Color Guard will be hosting their holiday concert in the gym. On Friday, choir will be hosting their choir concert at Bethany Church at 7 p.m. And on Friday and Saturday, wrestling will be holding a tournament on campus.
I'm sorry, there's one thing that I missed to pass along, and that is I spoke to Mr. Travatori over at West Covina High, and only because it'll be really close up against our next board meeting, but if anybody's interested, January 14th through the 17th, they're going to be doing Shrek, and the tickets are $20, and it's at the Covina Playhouse, and it only seats 99 people per performance. So I just wanted to make you all aware of that. Because I was calling based on the report from the last time to follow up. So, yes, it's $20 with a $2 service fee, and it's January 1st through the 17th. So just if you all are interested in attending, thank you. I'm sorry, I wanted to add that.
What's a $2 service fee?
Well, because if you buy it online, Mr. Travatori said, then there's a $2 service fee. I asked him, could we go to the box office because it's so close by? He said he wasn't sure, but that's what the drama teacher said. Tickets can be purchased online, and each ticket carries a $2 service fee, so therefore making it $22. So I was going to try to go to the box office because I would, you know, be purchasing four. Okay, I'm sorry.
That was it. Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is items from the floor and public comment. If anybody wishes to speak to the board this evening? Seeing none, we'll go to the organizational meeting and the approval of the agenda and consent items. Anybody like to add or delete an item from the...
I'm fine with that.
Anything else?
I would like to take off 11.
Okay.
I'll second.
Moved by Jessica Shoemaker, seconded by Tammy Polis, to approve the agenda and consent items for the regular and organizational meeting of December 10th, 2014, to add item number 6 to consent and remove item number 11 from consent. Any objections? Motion is so ordered. Next item on the agenda is item number 4, the 2015 board meeting dates and time. Do you have anything?
This is a recommendation to the board. We tried to look at the national conference, but I think there might be a conflict. I was told afterwards. So it's just a discussion.
All right, thank you. Comments?
Yes, March 20, the 2nd, the 24th is going to conflict with NSBA.
Then you all are flying back on the 24th.
Right, we're flying back, so.
We could have just one meeting in March because we have two in April.
Right, we normally do only one in April for that reason.
Anything else?
No, I didn't have anything else. I was just concerned about that one.
Okay, so we will present then the 2015 calendar year as presented with the deletion of the meeting on March 24th.
Did you move it, Jessica?
Yes,
I'll second it.
Okay. It was moved by Jessica Shoemaker, seconded by Cami Polis, to approve the 2015 board meeting dates as listed and as changed to delete the board meeting of March 24th as listed and designate the starting time as 7 p.m. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Item number 5 is Delegate Assembly nominations, California School Board Association Delegate Assembly nominations.
I'll nominate Eileen.
Thank you.
Do we just have the one?
Oh, and Christina.
I mean, how many do we have?
There's only two. Because Roberta comes from a large district where she automatically gets a seat. The school board has to decide that. So I would like to add Christina as well, Lucero.
Christina Lucero from Baldwin Park.
Baldwin Park. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, you already have your first and second. So you're just amending it to add Christina.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thank you,
where were the motions and seconds?
County moved to Mr. Flowers seconded.
So it was really two of them. We accept that change.
It was moved by Cami Polis and seconded by Mike Flowers to place in nominations the names of Eileen Miranda Jimenez and Christina
Lucero
on the California School Board Association Delegate Assembly Subregion 23C. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Item number 6 is on consent. Item number 7 is the appointment of the superintendent. Last Saturday, on December 6th, we met to interview 5 candidates for consideration as superintendent of schools for West Covina Unified School District. We were able to come to agreement in that meeting to recommend or to appoint Dr. Charles Hinman as the superintendent of West Covina Unified School District. Is there any other discussion? None? Is there a motion, please?
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second it.
It's been moved by Eileen Miranda Jimenez and seconded by Cami Polis to appoint Dr. Charles Hinman as superintendent of the West Covina Unified School District. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. Fox, I just want to add that he'll be starting January 1st.
Thank you. Next item, 8, is the approval of the employment contract for the new superintendent. We've all had an opportunity to read and review the contract. Is there anybody who would like to make a comment regarding that discussion in open session?
Yes. I voted to approve offering the position to Dr. Hinman without breaching closed session. Discussion was had regarding the contract terms. After that meeting, the contract terms were changed. And for that reason, I will be voting no.
Anybody else?
No.
Very good. All right.
I'll go ahead and move it.
Go ahead. Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second it, and I'm hoping that we can always amend the contracts, and that's what I'm hoping that we will do.
Yes. All right. It was moved by Eileen Miranda Jimenez and seconded by Cami Polis to approve the employment contract for the new superintendent, Dr. Charles Hinman, and the West Covina Unified School District. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion carries 4-1 with Jessica Shoemaker voting no. Item 9 is an information report regarding Edgewood Middle School stage. Just Eileen Miranda Jimenez
yes.
asked that this item be
I did.
Discussed.
He's already on.
Good evening, Court.
Good evening.
I'm here tonight to hopefully answer any questions or concerns that you might have pertaining to Edgewood's multipurpose room, stage, or electrical or lighting components. I'm sorry, did I take that on? Yeah. Is there anything specific that somebody would like to start off with by addressing, or do you want me to just move into how we got to where we are? I guess the main point was they're curious about why the stage is no longer there.
Right.
Okay. Basically, what happened with the stage and the components of the multipurpose room, during the design phase of the HVAC project at Edgewood, after we've encountered numerous visits to the site with our electrical engineers, structural engineers, and architects, a lot of the existing components that were there were shown to be inadequate or substandard or things in need of repair, safety hazards or concerns to the school district. Upon doing that, we decided it was best to, the architect and I, to go ahead and move forward with the modernization of the multipurpose room, as well as leave out and remove the multipurpose stage. A lot of the things that were associated with the stage were safety concerns, such as missing handrails, guardrails, the type of construction, the fact that it was not designed or engineered by a structural engineer. So I can go through the state or the slideshow here and give you an example of some of the things that we had in the multipurpose room. Here you'll see some lighting fixtures that were inadequately suspended from the T-bar ceiling, basically just tied up to the ceiling tiles. Here we go. Here you see a number of electrical components, electrical wiring, and wires that look similar to Christmas Vacation kind of sort of thing, Chevy Chase. All of which propose some serious fire risk, you know. Here we're moving on to some primary power upgrades, and this is the stuff that we put in place in order to eliminate those concerns. to the left there, slide one is a new sub transformer and a sub panel. And the second picture on the right there is the main distribution that will be feeding all the future lighting controls for the stage performances. Here you'll see on the left picture there is all new conduits and connector ends for the theatrical lights that Mr. Ballara would be using. And this picture on the right there shows the illustrates the truss systems that were installed to support the light fixtures so that we no longer have to have them supported by the T-bar ceiling, as well as the lighting wiring so that nothing's run on the floors or overhead suspended from the ceilings. Much cleaner installation, much safer. Here's a picture of the actual stage components that were utilized in the multipurpose room over there. As you can see, they're all wood construction, highly flammable. They're large, bulky. They're built in a manner which makes it very difficult to move them in and out of the building. Therefore, although they were modular in structure, they tend to remain in place as if it was a permanent stage due to the fact that it's difficult to move them around. They've been located behind our district office here. We're actually in the process of trying to see if we can assist him with selling them online, or is it the auction that we're trying to sell them on? Here you see an original drawing of the multipurpose room, and the area in red basically composed the original stage layout that was established over there at Edgewood. It comprised about 1,100 square feet, and as you can see, I don't have a pointer, but you can see it's basically going wall to wall, left to right, as well as out beyond the face of the doorways on both sides of the multipurpose room. A couple of the problems that were wrong with the stage the way it was the fact that it prohibited people from safely exiting out in case of a fire. Although they could get out, if there was an actual emergency, it would be very difficult. The back of the stage had no handrails or no guardrails where somebody could potentially fall off. And the stairs that led up to the front of the stage actually didn't have any handrails as well. Next photo is of what we're actually looking at proposing to do for Tim over at the Edgewood, and that is provide, let me back up a little bit. Last year, towards the end of the school year, the district purchased approximately 240 square feet of professionally engineered designed stage equipment for performances to be used, you know, wherever needed to in the site. However, after looking at the quantity that was removed, and numerous discussions that I've had with the principal, Mr. Dorsey, it was determined that probably the best interest of the school as a whole would be to purchase some additional components, stage components, that we could use to augment the stuff that we'd already purchased for the site, enabling everyone in the site to use them to the best, as far as Tim concerned, or it provided the site the ability to utilize those stage components in the multipurpose room, or the gymnasium, utilize them for the graduation ceremonies, or possibly even for performances in the quad area. Okay. Some of the advantages of the new portable stage system would be eliminate the future rental costs associated with what they've done in the past for a graduation, or what they will be occurring in the future. Provides greater flexibility for other performances elsewhere within the site. It's easier to move and set up. The components that we were looking into for purchase for the site actually have carts and rollers and storage cabinets where they can all be folded down and placed on movable components or movable racks so that you can move them throughout the campus. It's a much safer stage configuration. All of the stage components are integral guardrails, handrails for the stairs, as well as backdraft curtains for stage performances. It also provides the stage configuration that you saw in the second drawing. The second detailed drawing provides better access to that stage. In the past, the stage went wall to wall around the perimeter of the building, prohibiting passage through the sides of the stage area. This newer stage layout will actually afford mobility on both sides of the stage, including around the stair sets, so that people can transverse back and forth from the sides of the stage and around it all, to all sides. And the stage equipment is also much easier to store when not in use, allowing more floor space for other activities. As you know from the picture of the wood boxes, those always remained in the multipurpose room over there because they're so large and bulky to move around. However, if we go to this new type of a system, adding the additional components, you can put them on carts, move them into another area, thus freeing up the majority of the multipurpose room for other activities or different performances or larger gatherings if needed. Hopefully I kind of hit on everything, but I'm not sure if there are any other questions or concerns that you'd like me to touch on a little bit.
Yes. The stage in it, also the prior stage, had, they were gorgeous curtains. Are they going to be able to fit on this new proposed stage?
I'm sorry?
And what's the time? Are the curtains that they had ordered, the theatrical curtains that were mm-hmm. gorgeous and big and heavy and... Mm-hmm. Are they going to be able to fit on this new stage? Is it being configured so that they can still be used and not a loss? Because it's my understanding they were very expensive.
Yeah, it won't be a loss. There are a couple other components that need to be purchased to utilize the truss system that we have in place now. I have discussed those with Mr. Ballara and explained to him what it is that we need to purchase. Basically comprises a couple other trusses that would suspend off the existing trusses, thus enabling us to remount the existing hardware that we had in there previously, or that was installed previously. But yeah, nothing should be a loss. Ultimately, what we did was try to enhance what he had, make it a little bit safer, or a lot safer, I should say, clean things up, and it came at a cost. The items that we talked about that I showed you cost about $160,000, so that was the money well spent to clean things up and provide a better environment for the site and us overall as a whole.
And what is the timeline to get the pieces and get the stage up and ready?
They've had a bunch of the stage components that have been there at the site, however, they've never been assembled. There hasn't been a desire or need to assemble them for some reason, I'm not sure. I have looked into purchasing the new ones, to purchase the new additional components that would equate to a larger stage area that would be more suiting to performances. It is approximately $22,000. It's something that I've already looked into, and purchasing department is competitively shopping out for additional pricing.
Thank you. I appreciate.
We could probably have something in a month to give you a rough idea, depending if we were given the okay to proceed with.
I know they do their one large production per year, and then they have the smaller production that Mr. Michaels does.
Yeah.
So the larger production was done typically on the stage. And thank you for the information and for bringing the safety concerns, because when I walked in and saw there was no stage, I said, holy cow, what are they going to use?
Yeah.
West Covina High School at least has a small stage, and mm-hmm. we don't have a performing arts center here in West Covina. So the fact that the schools had something small was wonderful, but to have it completely go away was concerning. So thank you. I appreciate that you addressed all the safety concerns, and I see that money was invested, and we lost the Chevy Chase-ness to it. Thank you very much. So they can start using it, you said, maybe next month, so in planning their other performances?
Yeah, if we purchase the other components in, yes, we can start moving forward with the use of it.
Thank you, Mr. Larkin. Thank you.
Questions are a little bit broader.
Sure.
I'm racking my brain. Uh-huh. For when I was in high school, and I just can't remember. Was there not a stage there?
Prior to my arrival, I'm not sure. I believe there was a wood-constructed stage there at one time, and it was enhanced and or modified, but not a permanent structure as such, like West Covina High School. West Covina High School's got a permanent wood stage structure that serves both sides. It serves the multipurpose room side, it serves the classroom side, so it's a joint-use stage. It's actually got fire sprinklers underneath it because it's combustible materials. And there are a number of other elementary and intermediate schools that have similar small stages. As far as Edgewood is concerned, I'm really not sure. I couldn't tell you if there was one originally in there. I don't believe that there was. Initially, when we started the design phase and gathered the original documents for Edgewood's multipurpose room, it was never shown on there to have a stage. So that was one of the components that the architect brought to my attention was, once DSA, which is the state architect's engineer, does a field visit to Edgewood's multipurpose project during the construction phase, they're going to realize that the original documents for that project don't show a multipurpose room stage. They don't show a stage in that area. And they're going to bring up the question, who engineered this? Who designed it? Is it structurally intact? Is it structurally intact? Is it suitable for usage? In which case, all those items would have been answered no, and they would instruct us to remove it anyway. So those things being known, we felt it was in the best interest just to pull the stage out. Another component of removing the stage was we're also going to be doing over Christmas break a new flooring in the multipurpose room. We've painted things, put new ceiling, put new lighting. We've installed LED lightings on programmable timers and controllers in order to enhance the lighting environment inside the multipurpose room. But we're also planning on putting new vinyl flooring inside there. It's really bad shape. It's been covered by that stage with varnish and paint and all kinds of things in there. So that's on this.
Well, I know when my son. Oh, sorry.
Do you remember though that when they had the dinner shows there, right?
Right.
And that there was a stage of sorts. I don't
well,
know what
I think
it was.
It's must
not
have
this
been
one. I don't think so. No,
the stage that was there. I mean, I'm not sure. The stage that was there is now the components that are stacked up behind my building in the back. The wood. I can go back and show you.
You mean the ones that are there today, or have been there over the last year, or
yeah, because
I'm talking about. More than 15 years ago.
Before our modernization,
right.
that was there. Is from what I'm hearing you, is that kind of convoluted stage that I assumed was...
Not this one.
This one.
Yeah.
He's saying that this was here before modernization and they couldn't
It was.
Prove.
Oh, okay.
My understanding was...
I thought they did something to fix it or clean it up.
They actually took a lot of these components and they reinforced them. Put better wood on them. They actually put larger bolts. It was brought to the attention, I believe, maybe a previous assistant superintendent that it was inadequate. So efforts were made to try to enhance and make them better than what they were in order to limit the liability or exposure to the district.
We did something.
You're saying
that now it's still not there.
It's still not there. It still doesn't comply with. We can't attach handrails, guardrails to it. It's flammable. We would have to install fire suppression systems to it, and all those things would come to light the day the state's architect would arrive on site during construction. And it's happened to me.
When I was in high school, we did have the stage in the drama room.
Yeah, there's a drama
and
room.
Our small productions were done there during modernization. That room is never open. Every time I go to back to school night, to open houses, it's never open. I haven't seen a play in there.
Which room?
The drama room. Right next to Mr. Ballara's
Correct.
Room. So it's band, Mr. Chorus, and then there was
Correct.
The drama room. Not once has that been open, but there's a stage in there. That modernized during modernization?
It was. And what during the modernization process of that area of the building, which is you're talking about, It was brought to the architect's attention, and actually the state made us install a permanent handicap wheelchair lift for that function to be utilized as a stage for productions. Whether it's the magnitude or the size of the stage required, I know that Mr. Ballara does some extravagant performances, and he does a phenomenal job. Maybe what doesn't suit him as well as he needs, I'm not sure. But there is a stage there, you are correct.
It was for the smaller events that
Correct.
We had during
Correct.
High school that they utilized. So some of the smaller things, and I don't know how many people come to their voice night or, you know, when they're doing their open mic.
Uh-huh.
But it was a very nice stage.
It's still there. It's been stained, and it's got a section of it that's had to be removed to install a $20,000 wheelchair lift. So it has been done.
So it should be used. I mean, if we put all that money into it, I would like to see it utilized in some way.
Ms. Poulos, we saw it, and it is being used as a classroom. It's Ms. Starzinski's classroom during the site visit that we did at Edgewood, and I asked her the question myself. I've never seen this room, and there is a stage in there. You're right, and there's plenty of space in there, and she said they were using it for storage because they were using this stage. But since this was all disassembled and moved out, she was then given that classroom. So she is in there, and I was very surprised they didn't do working in that classroom because it has a stage. So they are using it. It's Ms. Starzinski's classroom right now.
So I'm glad to hear it's being utilized, and I would like to see the stage utilized, especially when you think about the money that went in. And this is not about this stage, but anytime any works, I would like to see it across the district, but there's been two red flags with stages for me now. I didn't realize that this was makeshift, so now I understand why it happened, but if we could be given a heads up. And then if there's going to be any changes done, and can I talk about Orangewood? Orangewood stage, after we modernized, someone put carpet on that beautiful, beautiful stage. Mm-hmm. And we noticed that when we did the walkthrough. They decided to take the carpet up, and they ruined the floor. This was all done without board approval. Now they're going to be putting on a laminate on top of that beautiful hardwood floor because it's going to cost too much to fix. Before anything's done, after the public entrusted us with their money, and we had a beautiful stage, and we were really excited. I remember going in there. That was my school when I grew up. So there was a lot of pride to go back and see it even better than I remembered it when mm-hmm. I was a kid. And then to have somebody at the site level be able to decide to put carpet on and then decide we don't want carpet and find out it's ruined underneath because of the staples and the glue. I would like there to be some kind of policy made before anything that's really expensive is done to something the taxpayers paid for and look beautiful, that needs to be brought to the board and that it couldn't be done at the site level. I understand why you did this, and now that's completely understandable, but if we can make sure that before changes are made, it's brought to our attention in case we have some objection of the use of taxpayers' money and how those things can be destroyed.
Sure.
That's something that we can do, and we will do that in the future. One of the things we're looking for tonight is some direction. We currently have over there about 200 square feet of a modular stage that is it's compliant. And what was proposed here tonight is to increase that to over 800. So we're looking for some direction, if that's the direction the board would like us to go, to increase the square footage of that stage to 800 to meet the needs over there. We've talked to the principal over there, and that's what the direction they want to go. But if we have some direction, we can then move on that.
I don't know if we can have direction this evening.
Where are you going to ask for direction?
Then we'll bring that back.
Yes, bring it back, and yes, I would love to have that discussion. Can't ask for that.
Do you know how much?
I believe last year the cost for the stage rental just for the graduation was $2,500. So if you're looking at a $20,000 investment and you're going to continue to have graduations over there, that might be a deciding factor as well in the football field area. So.
And as we're looking at different uses possibly for the middle school, and we're looking to bring people in to find out what do we really want that middle school to look like and what components are going to be there, would help us make that decision also. But they definitely need something.
Yes, they do. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very
Anything
much.
Else?
Thank you so much, Mr. Larkin. Thank you.
Next item is item number 11, the request for the approval of out-of-country study trip. Mrs. Poles, you asked to have this removed from consent.
I just have a problem with the wording, and it's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 line. Fifth and sixth line down, where it says students and teachers will need to cover the cost of their airfare, passport, and visa charges. I just want to change that. The cost of airfare, passport, and visa charges, approximately $1,200, will be offset by fundraising activities and donations. And I know that says it somewhere later, but if somebody has the inability to pay, we just want to make it really clear that we don't discriminate against people because they can't pay. And I think this covers it. And I would move it with those changes where it reflects this type of language at least.
Repeat that, Candy, it will be offset.
And it does say it in there, but
The cost of the airfare, passport, and visa charges, approximately $1,200, will be offset by fundraising activities and donations, instead of saying that they are responsible for that cost. And I'll move it as amended.
I'll second it.
Been moved by Cammie Polis and seconded by Mike Flowers to have 14 students and 3 teachers from Edgewood High School make a 9-day study trip to China March 27th through April 4th of 2015 with the recommended changes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Last item on this portion of the meeting is item number 19, the 2014-15 first interim report.
Okay. Good evening, Board of Education. Tonight you will be, you've received and you'll be approving the first interim report. In the board packet is the very detailed first interim report. Also, I provided you with a summary and kind of a analysis object by object. We do this whenever we do the interim report, so you can kind of see things go up, things go down, and see where those happen. Just going to cover this, the purpose of the first interim report, the reporting sequence, the district's general fund budget. The purpose of this is to look at changes from the original budget to the first interim. As a component of the first interim report, we also need to do a multi-year budget projection with multi-year assumptions. The board needs to certify the first interim report, and then we'll talk a little bit about next steps. So again, the purpose is to show the current fiscal status of all the district funds. One of the things we do is we're projecting what our revenue is under LCFF, and we're looking at our expenditures from July 1st through October 31st. So we took a snapshot on October 31st. We're now at December 10th, I believe. And from this report, we determine, if any, do we need to change our course of action, and make any course corrections, or proceed accordingly. We do know, and we'll talk about this, since we adopted our budget, enrollment's down, and so we will need to do some course corrections in the out years, and we'll talk about that. Just a review, this is the sequence during the year. Right now we're at the first interim report. There's still 6 things that need to happen between now and then, plus a couple budget revisions. So the next big thing that happens after tonight is the governor's proposed budget in January. That kind of kicks off the budget season, and we'll be watching for that. We'll come back to a second interim, may revise, adopt an LCAP, a budget, and then it starts all over again. And just review, the general fund budget's comprised of, there's unrestricted general fund budget, restricted, and then combined. Most of what I talk about tonight is combined, but I do break down the unrestricted and the restricted funds. Much more discretion on how you want to use those unrestricted funds. Restricted funds are typically your federal dollars, some state dollars that go to specific programs. So let's take a look a little bit, let's take a look at revenue and see what happened from when we adopted the budget on June 24th to where we were at first interim. Revenue is up. It's up about $2.31 million. We had an increase of $380,000 with our LCFF money. We had some federal money come in, some other state money, and local. So not uncommon to see the revenue go up. It went up in these areas, unrestricted. The increase in gap funding was $374,000. We had a little bit small increase in lottery. Had a rebate on workers' comp premiums that comes back. That's always nice. And some other unrestricted revenue went up. On the restricted revenue, special ed entitlements came in, a little bit more there. Our special ed provider program got a handle on the revenue that's coming in from that, and an increase in Title I and some other restricted revenue. So revenue came in, but also some more expenditures that go along with that. Because as we closed the books last year, some of those expenditures that weren't made, they do get, there's called carryover, and it's put into our budget for this year. Overall, expenditures are up about $2.96 million. Some things that weren't budgeted at that time, excess costs to the county, these are the 40-some students that are attending some county, not special ed, but a county program. The prior year carryover is in two parts, and we talked about that when we did the unaudited actuals. $972,000 for unrestricted, $816,000 for restricted. So we didn't spend it last year, so we put it back into the budget, and it will increase your expenditures. Yes, it increased the expenditures, but because we didn't spend it last year, our ending balance went up. Technology, we've been purchasing Chromebooks and carts and making improvements there. Some consultant agreements. We've had some consultants come in for special ed. As those expenses go up for consultants, you can see that some of the salaries and benefits go down. There was a shift in unrestricted salaries and benefits that went down $430,000, but on the restricted side, they went up. As you saw on this, there's so many moving parts to this. So this is just a very general summary. Overall, from where we started our budget, our original budget said we're projecting an ending balance of $16.02 million. Right now we're projecting an ending balance of $16.64 million. So that's an increase of $620,000. It's kind of where we would expect to be. I would see that ending balance possibly, as long as things stay the course, and expenditures maybe not coming in, maybe a little bit more revenue comes in, the ending balance could go up. What could make it go down is if there was a hit to revenue or some unexpected expenditures that we had not budgeted for. The components of that, it's not just all available money. That $16 million there, the board has assigned those dollars to retiree benefits, LCFF reserve, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We have a technology plan reserve and also a technology reserve for infrastructure as well as computers and software. We have to have a reserve. It's good to have in our district a deferred maintenance reserve, as we saw in some of the things that were over at Edgewood. Our buildings are not new buildings, and they do need to be taken care of. Lottery prior year, those are dollars that weren't spent. We saved those. Those can be used at the discretion of the board. The current year lottery, it's been the practice not to, that we reserve that current year lottery in case, we never know, maybe that could shut off sometime. And we have a 3% reserve for economic uncertainties. So one of the, as I talked about one of the components of a first interim report and second interim is you have to do a multi-year projection. It's a requirement. It's still very early in the year. When we're starting to look at 15, 16, we don't know what the governor's budget's going to look like, but we have some assumptions, and I'll show you those assumptions in a minute. One of the things that we've done here is on the revenue is we have accounted for the fact that our revenue is going down. We know that because of declining enrollment, our revenue will go down. Even though the revenue is going up there by over $4 million, it's not going up as much because of the less students that we're going to be getting. So we've taken that revenue out. What we haven't done at first interim, but we will be doing that as we enter into January and February, is looking at how we're going to reduce expenditures to correspond with those that declining enrollment. One of the things we talked about before was when you have 200 or 300 less kids in your schools, one of the places you look is it's staff and teachers. And so those expenditures are still in there, but as we move through the process with human resources and the board, those expenditures will come out. Also, the carryover expenditures, we put those in multi-years, but as we get into January and February, we'll look at those and those will probably be reduced as well. If you look at it here, it shows that the ending balance is going down from 16.64 to 14.93, 11.24. Keep in mind, we haven't made the adjustments for the declining enrollment on expenditures. We need to look at the carryover, and we also need to look at the whole process, which is the LCAP process and where our expenditures are going. The multi-year assumptions that we used, this is the gap funding that we're projecting our revenue on, COLA, next year. That'll change. When I come up at first interim, it probably won't be 2.19% for next year. I have enrollment going down in 15-16. 16-17 is still kind of far out there, so we kept that one flat for the revenue purpose, but we would adjust that if we get into 15-16 and we see it's going down. We always have step and column expenses, even though we may or may not give a raise. Step and column goes up. One of the things we talked about last year was the STIRS and PERS. The contributions for the district is just going up a lot. You can see that for STIRS for 14-15, the district's contribution is $3.4 million, and by 16-17, it goes up to $5 million. That's coming right off of the revenue. And these are just assumptions that we use to calculate our revenue. So what we're asking the board to do tonight is, based on this information, is for a positive certification that the district is able to meet its financial obligations for the current year plus two. Our next steps are going to be looking at the proposed budget, adjusting expenditures to align with declining enrollment. We're going to review our LCAP actions. We're going to continue to monitor spending, review our goals and actions, revise 15-16 if needed, adjust according to the May revise, and come to you in June with an LCAP and a budget. So with that, that's a quick summary of our first interim report. Are there any questions?
Thank you.
Jessica?
Thank you.
Items been moved by Cami Polis, seconded by Eileen Miranda Jimenez. To approve the first interim report with a positive certification, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Again, thank you very much, everybody that was involved. Manoj, thank you for Barron's for being here. Appreciate that. Before we go to the organizational meeting, as I guess my last item as board president, just take a minute to personally and publicly thank our superintendent, Deborah Kaplan, for everything that she's done for the district, for all of us, and to me, and for me, and for my family. I appreciate everything that you've done. You've been extra special. I know we've had conversations like this privately, and I just want to take a moment to publicly thank you very much for everything that you've done, and certainly all your efforts and everything that you've done for the students, the parents, citizens of West Covina. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right. With that, we will go into our organizational meeting and election of board officers. First item is for board president. Is there a motion to nominate?
Yes, I would like to nominate Jessica Shoemaker as board president. She hasn't had the opportunity in the last several years, and I believe it's really her turn to be board president. This isn't the time, but I would like to reinstitute the rotation policy or to have that discussed at a later time. But Jessica has really put in her time, and she's made a great board president in the past, and I would like to see her have that opportunity again.
Any other nominations? Is there a second?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Jessica, how long has it been that she has held an office?
6 years.
What was your resident? What was
I was president, and then when the rotation came around again, board majority chose to ignore the rotation policy as it
was. Is there a motion for that nomination?
I'll second.
Oh, second, excuse me. So it was moved by Cammy Polis and seconded by Mike Flowers to name Jessica Shoemaker as Office of the President of the Board of Education. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion carries 4-1 with Steve Cox voting no. Vice President?
I'll nominate Cammy Polis for the same reason. We originally had a rotation, and that in the original rotation, she was the office behind her.
Is there a possibility we could get the rotation back? Can it be done?
Yes, if I'm having it agendized for the next meeting.
Is there a motion for that? Or move? Yeah, a motion for that. Oh, I think I'll take that as a motion to nominate.
I'll second.
It was moved by Cammy Polis and seconded by Mike Flowers to nominate Cammy Polis for office of Vice President. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I will vote no. Motion carries 4-1. Steve Fox voting no. Is there a motion for clerk?
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay.
I'd like to nominate Mr. Minnis again.
Thank you, Mr. Flowers.
Is there a second?
I just want to make sure that Mike truly doesn't want to be clerk, because many of you might not know, or the audience may not know, that Ms. Jimenez was president twice in a row, and that it really, you should be the next in line for clerk, because she had the opportunity to be president 2 years in a row. So I just want to make that really clear. That
I understand what you're saying, but if we get the rotation back, I wouldn't mind. You know, I still would like to her to be clerk if we get the rotation back.
Okay, and
I appreciate it.
So what you're saying is you're pulling yourself out of the rotation.
Yes. You don't mind.
Thank you, Mr. Flowers.
Thank you.
So there's a motion by.
I'll second that motion then.
I'm sorry, Mike. I'm sorry. Mike Flowers moved, Cammy Polis seconded to that, to nominate Eileen Miranda Jimenez as the Office of Clerk. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. The designation of board representatives, is there any discussion on that?
The only discussion I have is for the California Virtual Academy. I know we have received advice that board members cannot be represented. To how are we going to handle this one? Because it really should be part of this. Because,
you can nominate somebody who's not one
for this position.
I think last time you asked us to advertise for it and nobody stepped forward. So we put it on here, we can take it off, but you really could nominate somebody for this position that's not a board member.
Do
any board members know anybody interested, or should we
fly it again
and
see if somebody is interested?
Can we put it on the website and
see if there's
interest?
Maybe get legal advice on how we handle this, so we can't get a community member who inside the district is eligible.
Sheena is on as a district member. I just want you to know there is somebody from the district who is on the board. Yeah, I just divide everybody with that.
Any other questions, comments, changes? Is there a motion to this item?
I'll move to remove the California Virtual Academy from the list since we don't have a nominee.
We can leave it without a nomination, so. As such, other than that, we have all of the recommendations except for that one, so we could just simply leave it at that without a nomination.
Mm-hmm. But that's fine by me.
Okay. Is there, so you're, that's
so
the
all
motion.
Of you that's presented.
I'll second it.
Okay, moved and second. Moved by Jessica Shoemaker, seconded by Cammie Polis, to designate board representatives to associations or organizations as listed. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. What's next? Nothing was done?
Mr. President, can I approach? Let's go.
Trying really hard not to cry, so I'm going to try really hard now. Obviously, it's been an honor for me to serve the district for the last 3.5 years, and it was a very difficult decision for me to leave. And one of the reasons it was very difficult is because of the relationship that I've had with the Board of Education and you particularly. You were the president when I was appointed to the board, and you were president my last term on the board. Or last term, it's not a term, but my last year on the board. And I have so appreciated your advice, your mentorship, your support, your sense of humor. I felt that we really could talk about things, agree or disagree, but we always understood each other and where we were coming from, and I just really, really appreciated that. And I know for you, this is bittersweet because you have 20 years as a Board of Education member and have contributed immensely to the district, both in its financial, its educational. I know that the families and the community has to be just so thankful for your term on the board and your dedication to this community. So it's an honor for me to provide you with this. It's actually pretty. West Covina Unified is on here, and it says your name in appreciation of your dedication to the children of West Covina and Board President 2014. So thank you so much for your service. Thank you. Should we come out here?
Any other Board of Education discussion?
Yeah. I was waiting for the end of the meeting because I didn't want to cry in the middle of the meeting. So I wanted to I want to thank you for serving on our district at our district with us. You have brought such incredible wisdom, programs, expertise, professionalism. We have a great staff in place. Your hires have been excellent. The district no longer functions in silos. We are truly a unified school district. I loved doing the site visits and seeing the example of your leadership in every classroom, because that's where your leadership went and reached, was every classroom. And to see the respect and the admiration from the staff as we went room to room and school to school. I'm excited for your new phase, though I'd like you to stay, but I'm excited for your new phase, and I'm very, very grateful that you came to us from New York and took a chance on us. And I hope you'll watch us from afar and continue to root for us. And you'll still be here. Part of your vision is still here. And we're going to build on it. We're definitely going to build on it. And I'm excited for the district for the new phase. But I'm going to miss you terribly. And I'm hoping that you'll still just be a phone call away. Thank you.
With my two old ones.
Thank you.
It's been an honor serving this district and the children and the families of West Covina. Thank you for taking a chance on me and giving me the opportunity. And I keep saying this, and I hope you understand that it's very difficult to end your career, but ending it in West Covina has been such a blessing for me. The last 3.5 years has been the best. So thank you.
Well, Ms. Debbie Kaplan, you already know. I shouldn't have to say too much. I consider you a friend. Thank you for, to help me with, by me being new on the board. We go through an agenda together, and we talked, and we've had some real nice conversations. And on the 18th, we all get to come back and have a party with you and sit back and relax and enjoy your last few days. And this weekend, we're in San Francisco, and we should have dinner and stuff together. So we celebrate some more this weekend. But thank you again. God bless you. May God continue to help, to guide your footsteps. And thank you for being that friend, the Honorable Superintendent.
Thank you, Mr. Paul. I just want to say thank you for taking a chance on us. I know that you came in at a difficult time, and you're leaving us in a better place. That the board meetings, as the public meetings, are much more cordial, and we're a big part of that. I know the community feels that, too. And a special thank you from my little ones, my personal little ones, because regardless of who's around, I can tell that children, students, come first to you. And that just shines through every time you're doing anything. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. And dates to remember, the Christmas and New Year's holiday schools will be closed on December 22nd through January 2nd, December 24th and 5th, the Christmas holiday, and December 31st and January 1st, the New Year's holiday, and the district office will be closed. And with that, meeting is adjourned at 8:08.